This NFL free agency. Who will the Broncos sign? Here's The Drive.
C-Mac, along with Cecil Lammy, Free Agency Frenzy, getting rolling today. We do have breaking news from Adam Schefter. Chiefs center, former Chiefs center Mitch Morse, intends to sign with the Bills. That's interesting. We have Pouncey, who signed. We have Morse, who has now moved on to the Bills. We'll find out what the money is, because, Cecil, that will impact the price for Matt Paradis.
Yes, and Mitch Morse was always seen as one of those guys who, well, if you lose Paradis, then I guess Morse would be that next guy in line. As long as he's healthy, he'd be okay. Not as good as Matt Paradis, in my opinion. And also the Bills. Remember, the Bills and the Jets were the two teams connected with Matt Paradis. The Bills have now been eliminated with their signing of Mitch Morse. So is it down to the Jets or the Broncos for Matt Paradis?
A couple of names. Cecil, get your reaction from the RamosLaw.com text line. Adrian Amos and Kareem Jackson. Cecil, break down those guys
for me. Kareem Jackson is an older player. He can play cornerback or safety. He's the guy that put the big hit on Philip Lindsay in the Texans game. So, you know, you're going up against the smaller running back in between the tackles, you're going to feel pretty bold as a veteran corner. But he's a smart player, a heady player, not as, you know, quick or fast as he used to be when he came into the league. And that's a signing that would be perhaps a little bit more inexpensive. And then Adrian Amos, you get a player in the box, you get a hard hitter. And I want to let Justin Simmons roam around as a free. Justin Simmons can play corner, he can play strong, he can play free. I'd rather have him as a free safety. Adrian Amos, you could put in there in the box as almost an extra linebacker for this team, and he's sound against the run. It's like a missile fired whenever he's going after a ball carrier. So that one makes a lot of sense, but Amos would come with an inflated price tag.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, they're bringing up the name K.J. Wright, Cecil.
Yeah, and you wonder if K.J. Wright, one, can stay healthy. Two, he's better in coverage than C.J. Mosley. You know, because that is the largest concern with C.J. Mosley. It's a concern with Devin White, too, by the way. So with K.J. Wright, you get that. You get an aging guy who maybe is not quite a striker like C.J. Mosley, but he's better in coverage and could run down the field with a guy named Travis Kelce.
That's an interesting one to keep your eyes on.
Yeah,
for sure.
And K.J. Wright has always been kind of a sleeper in this whole situation for the Broncos. And since they're not really connected with C.J. Mosley, maybe we should start and focus our attention on K.J. Wright.
Okay.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. It's not the name. It's not necessarily splashy. But if K.J. Wright's healthy, you might have something there.
Meanwhile, some other fun ones. Landon Collins lands a 6-year, $84 million deal with the Redskins. There was some thought that perhaps that could be a Bronco. We know now that Nick Foles signs a monster deal for 4 years, $88 million with $50 guaranteed. That was going to be the price tag for Nick Foles. If you throw on the other $4 million that you have to pay to get rid of Case Keenum, if the Broncos wanted Nick Foles, they would have to throw at least $50 million his way and more or less be paying 26 per year, at least this year, with 23, 24 years to come. And it makes sense why the Broncos weren't that excited about Nick Foles or really just couldn't afford Nick Foles.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun sometime in the near future when we get to hear from Nick Foles and, you know, what he thinks of this whole situation. What do you think of flying commercial? And what he thinks now is the Broncos' clear-cut starter, but a starter, I think, that has an expiration date, and it's up to him to continue to further that expiration date with the Denver Broncos.
So, a lot of action so far. A lot of guys still out there. It's not like this is a done deal, but things do tend to go relatively quickly, and it feels like there's a world of possibility, and then you turn around a half hour later and you realize, whoa, what happened?
Right. Head swirling today, although it has slowed down just a touch, just a little bit here across free agency. But teams are setting the market. The market is being set right now. So I'd be anxious to see what Mitch Morse got in his deal from the Bills, because that will be a jumping off point for Matt Paradis. Paradis should and will, in my opinion, get more than whatever Mitch Morse gets. Can the Broncos be in play for that?
Best names in free agency in the slot appear to be Beasley and Golden Tate right now.
Mm-hmm.
Best names in terms of linebacker look to be KJ Wright and CJ Mosley. Those still are pretty
out
big
there,
names.
Right, right. And Ndamukong Suh still out there. By the way, I've heard the Chargers are sniffing around him. So you already had the gap widened with the Antonio Brown deal with the Raiders. And the Chargers are already ahead of the Broncos, but they add an Ndamukong Suh. You better be drafting offensive line talent if you're the Broncos.
The curious thing is we just haven't heard hardly anybody linked with the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't like that. I would rather have them linked and be like, oh, man, they just missed out. They were so close. And not the Adam Humphries deal, which Nikki had, and not what Kliss was saying about Malik Jackson. Like, well, he just wasn't really a fit. No, he was a fit. He was a fit. They just couldn't afford him. But I would rather hear about the Broncos swinging and missing than nothing. Because at least you know, hey, they're putting out that college try. They're putting out that effort there in Dove Valley, which they are. I know they are behind the scenes. But we've heard nothing about players attached to the Broncos other than the small scraps we've told you.
We will hear from Troy Rank and see what he's hearing in about 9 minutes or so. And then, of course, the big signing of Nick Foles, which always gets your attention for quarterbacks. And what we anticipate seeing a little bit later this week is the arrival of Joe Flacco. With the option being exercised on Emmanuel Sanders, seems almost certain that he'll be back. What are the weapons for Joe Flacco right now?
The weapons you have or the weapons you need? Because you need a tight end. I know they want a blocking tight end, but who's their pass catcher? Because remember Dennis Pitta? Dennis Pitta, his last year with Joe Flacco, caught like 83 passes. So you need that sort of tight end that could be a significant playmaker. And you can't rely on Jake Budd. We don't know what Troy Fumagalli is. Like, it's a big question mark. But you already saw Jesse James go off the board. So if you're the Broncos, okay, Cortland Sutton deep, Emmanuel Sanders deep, Deshaun Hamilton underneath. I like that. I like the idea of Philip Lindsay catching more passes out of the backfield. I know that Flacco's not going to have trouble seeing over the line of scrimmage like Case Keenum had. So, okay, maybe that's something they could feature more of Philip Lindsay as a receiver. I don't mind that notion as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, right now it feels like it's Christmas and there's no... Dad's like scrambling around to Walmart and is like saying, hey, kids, why don't you go back to bed till about 2 o'clock?
Right. You woke up too early.
Yeah, you got up too early. I haven't finished.
They didn't have in the parts for the thing yet.
It was one time when I was like a little kid and came down all excited and Dad's still working on the pinball machine. And I'm like, huh? And he's like, Santa just didn't finish everything, but we'll get it done.
Right.
Why I was asking for a pinball machine at 7 is another mystery. But
was it what kind of pinball machine?
I don't even know. I just wanted a pinball machine.
Just pinball?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I don't think Dad ever, Santa ever set it up quite the right way.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Santa.
What's up with Tyler Eifert?
Why would you want Tyler Eifert? Like, seriously, we all know the talent's there, but the guy's hurt all the time. I mean, all the time. What'd he miss? Like 24 games over the last 3 years, something like that? Like, you can't really go to the hurt guy and say, this is the year he's going to be healthy.
I'm so glad the Broncos aren't paying a premium for the piles of stuff getting signed today. I feel you on that.
Yeah, but Landon Collins, I'm not going to call him a pile of stuff. Landon Collins is a significant player. Like, Trent Brown, sure, we can have that conversation about whether the Raiders overpaid, which they did. But a guy like Landon Collins, no way is that guy trash. That's a significant playmaker that could have helped the Broncos.
It always does make me wonder when I see offensive linemen move on. Whenever I see any player move on from the Patriots, I always tend to think, what's wrong with that guy? I don't think the other way.
Right.
Not now. Used to. Because it used to be like crazy who they would let go and when they would let go of them.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I see somebody move on, like, boy, what was up with our guy Nate Solder last year? What was up there?
Right.
What did the Patriots know there that nobody else really was catching on to?
They knew that Nate Solder was never a Pro Bowl player and was good, but not $13.5 million a year good. So then they were able to move on with Isaiah Wynn was their plan until he got hurt, and then it became Trent Brown.
This thought... perhaps the lack of movement And splash news from the Broncos means we are truly rebuilding. Maybe Elway isn't as blind as some would think. Well, what's the evidence of rebuilding, though? Where are the Broncos rebuilding?
Right.
What are they saving the money for?
Because if you're rebuilding, you would have been doing what the Raiders did a year ago. You would have been purging money somehow, some way, yet you're keeping all of your older guys that we expected
right.
in the team.
So I guess we're a little misled here because everything indicated this was a win-now sort of situation. So I got to follow this logic a little bit. Give me a second. So you're telling me we're rebuilding and that we're really only on the hook for Joe Flacco for 1 year. Well, that's $22 million in quarterback money this year already.
Right.
We're rebuilding, so that means Flacco is a bridge. Okay. He's a bridge to what? Who's that guy? If he's a bridge and we're rebuilding and it's only a 1 year commitment, because we haven't done a deal to, you know, well, nobody's done a deal to get Josh Rosen. Hasn't happened yet. Which, by the way, that tells me, too, perhaps that deal's becoming better and better, by the way. Perhaps the market is you know, is soft on Josh Rosen. I mean, are we looking for something like a fourth round pick for Josh Rosen? Are we looking for the Cardinals to just, are they having second thoughts about Kyler Murray here?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, they could be, but again, it's all about fit, and there's no mystery that he's a fit for Cliff Kingsbury. So to me, it makes too much sense for that team to take him number one overall.
I agree. I it just would be stunning at this moment if, by the way, we get another fun double dip. Kyler Murray's pro day is coming up on Wednesday, I believe, right?
Nice.
How about that? That'll be fun.
And he's going to get measured again. And Charlie Castley now saying he's like better than Mahomes? What?
Yeah, Charlie's losing
Charlie,
me on something.
Charlie, please, man, take a time out, brother.
Charlie was ripping on Dez Bryant for catching too many passes last year, having too many targets.
For the Cowboys, yeah.
The problem with that is, let's see, Dez Bryant didn't play for the Cowboys last year.
Bit of a problem.
So Charlie Castley was reviewing thoughts about Cole Beasley.
Right.
And saying Beasley didn't get enough targets because of Dez Bryant, and Charlie's looking crazy.
Yeah. In a 15-minute interview at the Combine, you can't tell about a guy's leadership. And only one team put him on the whiteboard, the Chargers, and Anthony Lane said he was brilliant. So, might want to walk that back a little bit, Charlie. I think he's backpedaling plenty.
I can see where Kyler Murray is off-putting to people. He's off-putting to me. There's just some, to me,
red... You watched his body language in high school baseball.
Yeah.
And caught that he was entitled, because the one thing that I've heard behind the scenes about Kyler Murray is he has an entitled attitude. Like, he's never had to work at it because he's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. So, in the NFL, he's going to have to work. Now, there's not questions about his work ethic or, like, he's lazy, but he's never had to work for it because he's so naturally gifted. What happens when he has to work for it? That's what teams are concerned about.
Yeah, I think it's a legit question. I just know the nature of the high-level high school prospect baseball
world. That type of athlete.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a special athlete. I mean, he is something special. But they start, when you're that type of guy in the baseball world, they're sniffing around at an early age, 8th, 9th grade, that sort of thing. And you're being invited to do all sorts of stuff that puts you in a world that I don't think there's a comparison in the football world where that same thing happens. I know there are throwing camps and other things like that, but I don't know. It's a different thing. And this baseball thing, you got to travel a lot. And so you are spending thousands of dollars from a very young age to sort of get looked at. You don't become a first round draft pick in baseball without putting some serious time in the road. Spending big money and just, you know, well, actually, you know, Troy Rank joins us right now. Hi, Troy. Denver 7 Broncos insider Troy Rank, brought to you by the Tranny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. You know, my remarks on Kyler Murray, Troy, is, and Troy knows the baseball world even better than I do, But you don't get to the point where Kyler Murray was at in this teenage baseball world without spending some serious dollars, right?
Yeah, typically. I mean, he playing in Texas helped, where he wouldn't travel as much as maybe some others, DMAC, where cold weather climate kids are going to have to get on the move a little more, especially if they want to be drafted those top rounds. But in Murray's case, yeah, I guarantee he was at showcases. His speed would show up everywhere. And then he's had relatives. Calvin Murray, he gets his uncle that played in the big leagues. So, but yeah, it's a process. And you know, it's not like before, you know, the old days where you just play your high school spring season and then you get drafted out of that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, and part of it is
that point.
Part of it is that not even if you're just trying out or you're auditioning, part of it is being invited to do things. Part of it is being invited to play on some high-level teams all over the place.
Right. You have to be good enough to play. And, you know, in his case, it sounds like to me he's one of the greatest high school athletes in Texas, which is saying something. Then he went undefeated in high school in like 4 years of football. He's an excellent baseball player, but, I mean, he was a better football player. I watch him in baseball, and I like him, but I didn't think he was going to be an impact player in the big leagues. I absolutely thought he made the right decision to go to the NFL, because as a quarterback, it'd be different if he wasn't a quarterback, but he can make more money more quickly in the NFL than he was going to make in Major League Baseball, because there's no guarantee he would ever get to the big leagues in Major League Baseball.
Listen, I just
going to have to hit.
I just don't want to see him with the Broncos, because I just know the Broncos won't customize everything for him. I'm excited to see what will happen for a team that's willing to work around him. That being said, Troy, any word on anything going on with the Broncos today?
Yeah, the free agent frenzy was more of a freeze here early in Denver, DMAC. But, you know, there's still some, you know, the glass half full will tell you there's still some guys on the board they like. Adrian Amos is still out there. Golden Tate is still out there. Kareem Jackson at corner. Pierre Desir. So, I mean, there's still time. It feels like they're not getting anything done. And then you remember it's free agency has been open for 7 hours, essentially. So, but I do think there could be more bad news first in that Matt Paradis is getting an increasing level of interest and it's accelerating. I just don't see I don't see it right now where he ends up staying in Denver. I think there's just going to be too much interest on the open market and the contract he's going to be given to stay. That's not final, but he's getting enough interest that I know of that I don't think he'll be back in Denver. So then the offensive line becomes a real issue for the Broncos. Brandon Marshall's got interest from 5 teams already. So once he's released, he'll be gone. But, you know, so we'll see. They have time. But, man, it'd be nice to get one of those guys like an Adrian Amos or Juwan James to kind of get this thing going if you're a Broncos fan.
I noticed, Troy, how you don't say C.J. Mosley. Is that even realistic or is that more of a media fan thing? Like, wouldn't it be nice to have C.J. Mosley?
Well, I mean, he'd fit, but the price is going to be enormous. You saw what Quan Alexander just got.
Crazy.
I mean, he's coming off a torn ACL. He barely played last year. I mean, C.J. Mosley, yeah, you could say he might be tilting slightly toward the other way. I'm not saying decline, but, you know, he's going to be, you know, at the other side of his career now as professional NFL guys go. But he's not going to get less than $15 million a year. I mean, the Broncos going to spend that on a linebacker? That would surprise me. If it were me, and who cares what I think, but I would rather than get a linebacker in the draft with Devin White or Devin Bush than spend $15 million on Mosley. I would try to address multiple needs in free agency and then get my linebacker at number 10 overall. But they got a lot of needs here, guys. At some point, they got to start filling some of these holes because they got a hole at tight end. They got an issue where they got to get at least one lineman, maybe two. I mean, they got work to do, but there's time. But, yeah, Mosley I don't see as realistic right now. I can't imagine that they're going to be in play on Mosley.
Do you believe the Broncos are done for the day?
No, never in free agency because stuff happens out of the blue. Just one dominant, like the Mitch Morse guy from the Chiefs just signed with the Bills. So that could mean Paradis comes off the board in an hour or two or later tonight. I mean, it's just all about dominoes that fall. It doesn't mean that it will happen. I'm just saying, DMAC, that it only takes one guy to move the board and all of a sudden things start happening again. So, you know, and as long as there's guys they want that are out there, I'd say there's still that possibility something could happen again. Amos is the interesting one. Can they get him at $10 million a year? You talked about it last week. I mean, Collins getting that contract, I'm not saying it floored me, but that's a big number that Landon Collins landed. So can you still get Amos at 10, is that number going to be much higher than that?
Oh,
but
my God.
He's the guy. I mean, he's the guy that I mean, you like him, but how much do you like him?
And
the problem they're running into is I mean, let's say it gets to 10.5 or whatever, and then they still have other guys they've got to go get. I mean, that's why you can't go all in on one guy. They're not a team that's one or two players away.
Now the Chiefs are looking for a center?
Yeah, Mitch Morrison's gone. So, again, Jets are looking for a center. Chiefs could be looking for a center. I mean, I don't know if they can move a guy around. But, yeah, in theory, they could be looking. Bills were looking, but they signed.
Yeah.
They signed more, so they're off. But Bills, when Jets were on Curtis' interest early in the day, he's had multiple teams on him. You know, I just don't see that ending with him staying in Denver. I mean, Denver hasn't been ruled out. No doors have been closed, but we've seen this, D-Mac, and see, so once their guys get to free agency and test the market, it's much less likely they return.
Okay. Sorry you guys couldn't quite get it done. Boy, it was exciting. What a 2-year run Longmont boys basketball had, though, Troy. Another championship.
We played for one against, maybe one of the best teams in the state. We were there to the end. We had a chance. If we get a rebound, we have a shot at the three to tie it, the buzzer. But if you'd have told me 2 years ago, D-Mac, my son was going to be around great kids and win a state title, the first one since 1942, and have a chance to play for another one as a senior, I would have signed up for that in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
so while it's stung, it doesn't, when you get a few days away from it, we really have been blessed to experience this ride the last 2 years.
Congratulations to all those kids up in Longmont, your son Brady, and you probably have a baseball game tomorrow.
Yeah, he was playing a scrimmage today, and he texts me, he's like, my swing is a little late. I'm like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, man. You got plenty of time to figure it out. It's been a long basketball season. You got plenty of time.
All right, thank you. Troy Rang from Denver 7. So now the Chiefs need a center. Mitch Morse goes to
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Mitch Morse was hurt quite a bit last year, so it's one of those things like they've played without him as their starter, so, maybe they'll just stay in-house.
I got somebody on the text line saying, we have to confirm it, but on the text line saying $11 million per for Morse, which would be in line with Pouncey, which you could see where that's going for Matt Paradis. So I don't know. I don't know what the number was that the Broncos were okay with Paradis. And, I mean, for Paradis to go to the, for example, to the Chiefs, woo, that would sting a little bit.
That would sting quite a bit. Nothing yet, but isn't it interesting to note how Twitter has been so rampant today? Just watching the timeline, we're checking Mike Kliss's Twitter and all that. Like, numbers haven't hit the news wires on Mitch Morse, but we'll see if it's out there on Twitter. But we need an idea of what is Matt Paradis going to get, and is Denver comfortable paying that after lowballing him a couple of times already?
In terms of our coverage, it does not stop. We are live all the way up until midnight tonight with all of the deals. Whenever it happens, you'll hear it here first. We have John Davis and Dan Jacobs coming up, Sandy after that, and it rolls right into tomorrow morning. So you got it here, Free Agent Frenzy. Ongoing. We're trying to stir up a frenzy. We've got a breaking update about a safety the Broncos aren't going to get. This is a big name. Stick around. We'll tell you who it is next.
It's NFL Free Agency. Who will the Broncos sign? Here's the Drive.
Okay, the breaking news is Tyrann Mathieu will sign a 3-year, $42 million deal with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, Cecil, break that one down.
Yeah, break that one down because he gets to sit next to Eric Berry and make plays out there even as a return man. I know they've got Tyreek Hill there as well, but Tyrann Mathieu as a defensive back, as a safety, a playmaker, a ball hawk, someone that you worry about him staying healthy because he's a smaller guy. He plays with reckless abandon and no regard for his personal safety. But, hey, Chiefs need defense. You know, I shot in the arm by picking up the Honey Badger today.
$14 million per. We'll see what all the bells and whistles are to it. So what's the value of Amos? Let's just go there. We're talking safeties. Amos got to be 10. If the Honey Badger is 14, Amos got to be 10, right?
10? 10?
10 per.
Everyone talking 10. Like, bump that up, man.
Wow, really?
Yeah, we're talking 11 or 12. All pro?
What's Roby?
Who's all pro?
What's Roby now?
Roby's, his number starts at $8.5 million because the Broncos put it there. So if you are, another corners are going off, by the way, Buster Screen with the Bears signed a 3-year deal here in free agency. So, okay, Buster's not going to get what Bradley Roby is, but all these guys are getting out of your price range. If you're uncomfortable paying the price, then welcome to the Broncos not getting anybody in free agency.
4 at 11 per for Mitch Morse to the Bills.
So if you're Matt Paradis, 4 for $4.50, right? Make it 12 per.
Is he better than Morse?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And
is he better than Pouncey? Is he better than Pouncey?
No.
And Pouncey was like 11 per.
So put him around that number.
I suppose the good news every time when you see this, at least it wasn't the Bills that signed Matt Paradis. All right, hold on. Should we really be rooting for Matt Paradis to be re-signed here by the Broncos? Would Matt Paradis be one of the more significant free agent pickups for the Broncos? Is he important for the Broncos?
I never wanted him to test the open market in the first place. Because the center is the quarterback of your offensive line. And there was a thought out there, and I didn't like it. But people said, hey, you don't need Matt Paradis because you have a veteran quarterback and you could go with a young guy, Connor McGovern or Sam Jones, whoever. Like, no, all due respect to those guys. But I'd rather have the veteran because you have Garrett Bowles, who we're thinking should be replaced at left tackle. You have Ron Leary, who you're forced to keep at left guard. You have nothing at center. Your right guard's a question mark. Your right tackle's a hole. Like, wouldn't it be nice to have your best offensive lineman stay? And if Matt Paradis has been good, but not great, let's say the Broncos like Matt Paradis, but they don't love Matt Paradis. Well, would you love him with Mike Munchak? Because we're talking about a Mike Munchak bump for all these guys, right? Garrett Bowles is going to be better with Mike Munchak. How about Matt Paradis being better with Mike Munchak? That makes a lot of sense.
You got
to
spend the money somewhere. So now I'm like, okay, Paradis, too important. Forget about C.J. Mosley. Forget about K.J. Wright.
They're not even in on C.J. Mosley. Anybody we've talked to has poo-pooed that idea.
Jordan Hicks?
Is that where we're at now?
I don't know. You tell me.
About Jordan Hicks?
If we have to spend 11, 12 for Matt Paradis per, and we're not getting a higher profile linebacker, what are we looking at then at that position? And I got you, Bush and White. Okay, fine. But that means we're not drafting Jonah Williams. And also, we're not even talking corners yet.
Right?
So that draft better be deep. You better be right on that one.
It's deep at corner, for sure.
Because we are definitely barreling down the road of that second round pick being a corner, starting corner.
I'm fine with that. It'll work this year. That would work. Your inside linebacker, though, there's two guys. That's it.
And you'd probably have to move up to get Devin White.
Yes. And I don't know if the Broncos want to do that because you're waiting. Let's just be dead honest here. They're waiting for Justin Herbert next year. At least I hope so. I don't want him to get Josh Rosen for multiple reasons. Joe Flacco, whatever. Keep him for a year. See how it works. But
yeah, but
it's about Justin Herbert in 2020.
Okay, but you could still have Rosen and draft Herbert. It's not that big of a deal for the value that you get Rosen. It's all about value. Never mind what, Rosen sucks. Not at that value.
It's not about him on the field, though. Again, he was my number one quarterback physically.
You get him for
I wouldn't touch him this year for a third rounder.
Oh, my gosh. Please. Who are you worried about giving up? What position are you worried about forfeiting in the third round?
It's not position. It's him. It's about bringing in that attitude to the locker room.
What attitude is that?
The perceived attitude issues about Josh Rosen, there's a couple of things. One, there's some out there around that team that don't think he's really that smart. Like, he's book smart, but maybe not as football smart. Remember, this guy was chosen Rosen coming out of high school.
We got any names on those guys?
He was supposed to be...
We got any names on those guys?
People around the building.
People around the building.
Yes. And not janitors either.
People around the building. I can't wait to hear what people around the building think about me. People around the building. Wouldn't it be great to have your character assassinated by the people around the building source?
Hey, Josh Rosen for a third rounder, everyone should be falling all over themselves, and they're not. Why is that?
Apparently people around the building.
That's part of it, and part of it's him. Part of it's him being Jeff George and Jay Cutler.
Oh, my God.
People do not like that at all. When you act like you're the smartest guy in the room.
You are going off old stories or...
I'm going off new information. There's a reason why he's my number one quarterback. You and I were eye to eye on Josh Rosen last year, and now, knowing what I know, I don't want Josh Rosen for a third-round pick. There's a tipping point. You say fifth-rounder. Okay, whatever.
Right. You know what? I'm not even going to beat this drum because...
Justin Herbert, 2020. Jake Fromm, 2020.
Oh, yeah. How do you get Justin Herbert with a top seven pick next year? What are the Broncos finishing at this year, Cecil?
Well, they're finishing at 9-7. So you're going to have to move up. And here's how you do it. You trade Von Miller. What?
If you're going to... Oh, my Lord. You think Von's still worth a first-round pick next year?
He's worth part of a package deal to move up.
We just saw Antonio Brown go for a third and a fifth.
In a desperation situation. We saw Amari Cooper go for a first. We saw Khalil Mack go for two firsts. Like, the Antonio Brown thing was the Steelers getting ramrodded by the Raiders. That's exactly what that was.
If you were going to trade Von Miller and get the maximum value for him, this would have been the year. It is just not good. And they're not going to do it. They're not going to do that anyways. And listen, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense to trade Vaughn from a
next year.
It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. Vaughn's just one of those guys. Vaughn and Elway, and that they're just linked together. See, it's just never, ever, ever going to happen. So if you really want Herbert, if that's really your plan, think of something else besides trading Vaughn. Never going to happen. I floated it. I ran it up the flagpole a million times. Makes sense. Not saying it doesn't make sense. Just never going to happen. So besides that, how else are you going to get up to, in the top seven to get Herbert?
Multiple first-round picks. That's how you do that. You can always trade. Kansas City was, what, 24 when they moved up to 10?
You could do it that way,
Mahomes.
I suppose. But that is just...
And who even cares what they gave up for Pat Mahomes? Not that Justin Herbert's Pat Mahomes. But, like, does anyone even think, like, Kansas City doesn't have a first-round pick this year? Nobody cares.
They got
Pat Mahomes.
When we come back, we'll get you the latest information about what's going on, where the Broncos are likely to go next, and could a local kid be in the mix for the Broncos? Details next.
It's NFL free agency. Who will the Broncos sign? Here's the drive.
C-Mac with Cecil Lammy, and we go out to Roger, who wants to talk about a local kid. Hey, Roger, you're on the fan. What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Dalton Reisner, however you pronounce it. I've heard he, besides tackle, I've heard he can play center. Is that true, or
he
did
can
I...
play four positions on the offensive line in the pros.
Cecil's got
him
in
21 to the Seattle Seahawks, who desperately need offensive line help, and Reisner is a riser. He is a first-round pick in my eyes, and I think he should be a Broncos target. Maybe not at 10, but maybe if you traded back with Washington at 15, if whatever Washington's going to do, like, they're probably not going to take a quarterback now in the first round, but, like, Dalton Reisner is the closest thing aggression-wise you're going to get to Quentin Nelson this year. I love the kid.
First rounder, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Three or four tackles in the first round this year.
On Taylor B on Twitter, do you see Shane Ray going to KC? I don't know where I see Shane Ray going. I don't know if that's possible to predict one way or the other. I think going to KC would be cool for Shane, but
he doesn't fit their system now because of Steve Spagnuolo. That's why they're trading D4. They're trading away outside linebackers because they're going to run a 4-3. So Shane Ray would not fit at all whatsoever. Now, if Shane Ray moved to the inside and played inside linebacker, then maybe. But the guy broke down playing outside linebacker. So playing inside, taking on more punishment, I don't think that's in the cards for Shane. I wish him well, but the whole KC thing changed when they get Spagnuolo as defensive coordinator.
I can only hope that maybe something perks up tonight. Perhaps we're the bad luck charm here this afternoon. My man Dan Jacobs and Ryan Konigsberg. Wow.
Ryan K.
Man, oh man. Going to take over here in just a couple minutes. Free agency frenzy, anything can happen at any time. It's just that in terms of today for the Broncos, it's been a big fat zero.
It has been, and it's been disappointing, really, because you enter this day, you know it's legal tampering is going to open up at 10 a.m. In 8 minutes, we have the Trent Brown deal done. In 8 minutes from the start of legal tampering, we have a deal with the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history, and then you're waiting for the Broncos. We're talking about C.J. Mosley, and, well, that's not happening.
Colts spending some money this just in. Devin Funchess, a one-year deal worth $13 million to the Colts. So the Colts open up their massive pocketbook just a little bit.
$13 million for Devin Funchess. That's awful. What's he going to play tight end? Like, seriously, he's a big-bodied wide receiver who's been a disappointment with the Carolina Panthers. That's an awful deal. They wanted Terrell Williams, is what I've heard. Terrell Williams, to my knowledge, is still available, seen as the best wide receiver available in free agency. I thought the Colts were going to go after him, but you got Devin Funchess.
Yeah, okay. But the Colts got money to just absolutely burn. So maybe
but
that's
they
just
don't
not that big
want
of a
in
deal.
On Le'Veon Bell. You know, that's the guy. If they got Le'Veon Bell.
Who does want in on Le'Veon Bell?
Jets and 49ers. And maybe.
At what price tag? What are we talking about? I mean, this is a guy willing to forfeit all that money last year.
Yeah.
For what? I mean, what's it going to be?
$15 million a year?
Really?
Which he was going to get with the franchise tag, by the way. He walked away from $14 million. So are you going to pay a running back? Now, he's much more than that.
I can't even imagine.
But this reminds me of when Jimmy Graham wanted to get paid as a receiver. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
No, Jimmy, you're a tight end. You're going to get paid tight end money, and he did. Le'Veon Bell wants to get paid as a receiver and a running back.
I remember asking Julius Thomas, are you a tight end or a receiver? And boy, did he want to say receiver. He wanted to say receiver so bad.
Yeah. And then he got ran out of town. Everyone talked about how horrible he wasn't blocking. Now you'd beg for Julius Thomas to return.
24 touchdowns over 2 years.
Significant.
Wow.
Pretty good. Brian Sanders guy, by the way.
Yeah. Don't need all those boring touchdowns. Much more fun to throw up, you know, 17 points a game and pray.
Jeff Hireman caught 30 passes and we're talking about an emerging player.
Be careful what you ask for. Julius Thomas can't block. So what? I mean, I get it. You need a balance of things for sure. It's not just one way. But boy, oh boy, when you got a guy, and I get it. He tapped out. He wasn't a willing participant. He's got a terrible reputation. I just remember him catching a lot of touchdowns.
And being mad at Greek. That's the two things I remember about Julius Thomas.
And his dad being upset with things.
Right.
But what has happened? What has happened at the tight end position for the Broncos since Julius Thomas was shown the door?
Yeah, Virgil Green.
What has happened?
Virgil Green, who said he was the best tight end in the league a couple years ago at the Super Bowl. That was tough for me to contain laughing then. But so you had Virgil Green, you had Jeff Hireman, who you're waiting for. You draft Jake Butt, fine. Fifth round pick with first round talent, certainly. But he's hurt again.
Going to pay Matt Lacoste $2 million and hold on to him? No. Well, what are you doing? Jake Butt, you know, that's going to be a sad story because I just don't ever see how that guy gets healthy, period.
Three knee injuries.
Yeah.
Three.
I'm not rooting against him. I hope it does work out somehow. Right. I just don't see how.
Well, and you can't count on it. That's the thing.
I just don't see how he can be the athlete that he was at Michigan going through everything he's gone through. I just don't know how he would do it.
And then we hear about the Broncos wanting a blocking tight end. Well, what do you need a slot receiver for in this offense? In this version of this offense, you need a tight end.
Well, the Broncos have officially moved on nothing, so I have no idea what they really are thinking. They're not linked to anybody. We haven't really heard.
Well, there are people around the building saying slot receiver.
Nick, you put it out there, Humphreys. Maybe they talked to him.
Are they getting sticker shock? Is that what this is?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's exactly what it is. Maybe this is all just coming to Adam too fast. Who knows? They just
were you not anticipating this market?
Well, certainly wouldn't be the first time that the Broncos did not anticipate guys getting as much as they got. They certainly didn't anticipate the price on Brock Osweiler, for example.
Right.
They got caught off guard there.
C.J. Anderson, when they put that low tender on him,
yeah.
They didn't think the Dolphins would give him that type of deal. All they had to do was put a second-round tender on him. They would have paid him like $1 million more, but they would have been able to get out after a year.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
Why is that?
I got a tinfoil hat. You want to hear some tinfoil?
Let's do it.
All right, here's my tinfoil conspiracy on that reason.
Okay, you play Alex Jones, I'll play Joe Rogan.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing.
The management crew over at the Broncos may have thought that with all their success in their signings of free agents in the past, their presence was the most important thing. And the reality of the situation may be the presence of Peyton Manning mattered more than anything. And it's a stunning blow to see that maybe guys aren't falling all over themselves to be here with the Denver Broncos. So it may be, it's kind of like when I kept hearing about how awesome CU was because of the Flatirons. And I'm like, yeah, they're pretty and all, but let's go see Oregon's like weightlifting facility. Let's go around the Pac-12 and see what everybody, but oh no, Boulder's the best. Look at the Flatirons. And what did they have to do eventually? The Buffs. They built new facilities. They needed to.
Right.
And now they're gorgeous. And they're in the same mix. Tinfoil hat-wise, perhaps that's a little bit the same with the Broncos.
But this isn't the first year that this has happened. It's organizational hubris is what you're talking about.
I'm going to get a dictionary and look that up, but I feel that you may be right. Good job, Cecil. Double dipping. Information, man. We were ready. We were ready.
We were on it.
We were ready.
And then nothing happened.
Watch. There'll be like six signings in the next half hour.
Right. And yeah. Ryan and Dan are going to get us to talk all about it.
Thank you, Big Sexy, Strawberry Man, Cecil. Yes, Dan and Ryan, we got you covered in Free Agency Frenzy. We're waiting for it, Broncos. Right here on The Fan.